just before we were cut off there.
We were talking about the media. I think the media was a success. Prior to that, I think in many cases the approach had been to keep the media away. But I think having them as close as you could was actually a positive story, and it worked out quite well. I mean, they were pretty astute too. When they turned around a door, and when they ever saw a plane come back without one of its weapons, they would, what happened? And so they were very able to put two and two together as well. But it worked out quite well.
You said, with the exception of one incident, the media's presence there was still really positive.
Yep.
What incident was that?
Well, there was one incident with a very senior, in fact, excellent writer for the Globe and Mail. In fact, when he showed up in theater, because I knew him from a place I was aware of what he had done, written, I used to read him all the time, I gave him quite a bit of time on board at the Basman to explain to him what I saw was going on, and that was all fine. He requested going out on the ships, and so we exercised. We got him out on the ship, boring as heck, and here he had to write a story, send a story, and he was doing that every day. And so we sent a story for whatever. He talked to a young sailor on the wing of the bridge at 3 o'clock, something in the middle of the night, and the young guy was wanted to be back home in Ottawa, so he wrote this article over back in Halifax, and there was an article which indicated the morale was low on the ships. And, of course, we had promised anything he wrote we would send. The guys sort of brought it to me and sort of said, well, I'm going to send this. He said we would, so he would send it. But it was disappointing in that, A, it wasn't true. And our biggest concern wasn't so much that the article be in the Globe and Mail, which was the front page, but it was the fact that the effect it would have on the families in Halifax. And so we had to very quickly make sure that they understood this was not a real piece. It wasn't the truth. And we were able to do that quite quickly. It was interesting that individual, when there was a reception door. I think later on he was actually denied him access to the reception, mainly because the crew was still pretty mad at him. He made a statement to me, as I said to you, what you wrote was not true. He said, yes, but it sure made good copy. And I never forgot, yes, but it sure made good copy. And that really, really annoyed me. But having said that, the team back in Halifax, the Family Support Center, and the staff in Markham headquarters went up extraordinary lengths to make sure that the families knew that this was not the case with the sailors. We ended up letting them talk back home as much as they could. And so a lot of telephone conversations and SATCOM and allowed all this to take place. It basically was put to bed. But it was rather annoying when it had to go to that length. It was the only incident in the whole time. But other than that, I can honestly say I thoroughly enjoyed having the media around because I say what they saw was positive, and so what they wrote back or sent back was very positive, which it was.
Yeah, so we kind of counteract the pre-deployment press and fears that might have been recurring in the press. This would kind of put those to bed.
Well, the pre-deployment, of course, the problem with that is, and they didn't know what we were going to get. We didn't know what we were going to get involved in, and so you get all sorts of speculation. That's when you start working it right down, as I mentioned, the threat. So what is the real threat? Going to worry about submarines. You don't want a submarine threat. You have to worry about Dow's coming up alongside you with sort of suicide type bombers or other things like that. So you worry about that. That's why the Beaufort guns were, 50 cal guns were put on the ships. Worry about the aircraft, obviously, and the F-1 Mirage and the Exocet missile. And worry about the patrol boats that they had. And those were all the threats that we figured out. So once you sort of work it down into what is the action, what can do you harm, then you can start to take plans to deal with that. But at the time, when pre-deployment, when we were trying to get out of there, you know, we didn't really know, the government didn't know, no one knew we were allowed to get involved in. All you knew is you had to be prepared for whatever.
Just so the benefit of the tape, the journalist was Globe Mail reporter at Corn, I believe, is that the individual?
I wouldn't use that if I were you, but it was disappointing with just one.
Yeah, just.
But he was extremely well known, and I, in fact, I still have an email with Paul, not that long ago. But in any event, you know, a well recognized journalist and very, very, very good. I mean, he certainly knew that area extremely well from his articles that we were reading. But unfortunately, it was. I guess he had pressure to do something. You know, he was a senior writer, and they're paying him big bucks to write something, and he had nothing to write about that was boring out there. Boring out there.
How many boardings can you report on?
Well, exactly. And so it was effective and very necessary and important to do, and certainly the Canadians led the way in the boarding and the interception operations. Big success story, but it was boring. I think he probably, in hindsight, would probably regret that.
I'm sure. The only reason his stood out was because there weren't any others, really. The coverage was so positive that when I came across his, that was the only reason really stood out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At this time, I'd like to wrap up.
Sure.
Just thank you for your time today.
Okay.